B-Pod Studios.
Lock it back up for you before you go back in. And I'm like, yeah, sure you will. So I just take my phone and I walk away. I wait a couple of minutes. I get a drink. I put the phone back in my pocket and I walk in the theater and say, sir, do you have a phone? I go, I forgot it at home. And then I sat down and enjoyed the show. And it was Norm Macdonald and he was hilarious. And then I left and there was no problem. And then the line of people was ridiculous for them to get their phones back.
So no frisk action when you walked in and said, I forgot. Who forgets their phone?
I double dog dare you to search me. Okay. If you're not TSA, if you're not a government official,
Mark was going down on the phone.
I was.
And taking names.
But does that make me a jerk? Because like, I figure anybody had the right to say no to that. Like I read the ticket. There was no like, we're going to confiscate your phone.
Yeah, it does seem very, very odd to me. I understand it, and we talked about it. Like, you know, if somebody videos a comedian's bit and throws it out there, mm-hmm. and said comedian says something that some might not approve of, then they get a bad name to them. I understand it, but man, that's hard. Not right.
No, it's not right.
No, locking a phone, no.
And what if you're a person that uses like Google Pay and Apple Wallet and all that stuff?
Exactly.
Like, it's your wallet.
Now
as well.
I'm broke until you give me my phone back. Now, for the rest, so what you're saying,
too much invested in them.
Exactly. You have the world at your fingertips is basically what you have. And Bob, to your point, I understand the comics, and I've seen comics before that will flat out give the warning before: keep your phone away, do not record this, and throw it up on the web, on YouTube, or whatever. And I'll say this much: the first like 3 minutes, 4 minutes of Norm Macdonald, I was like, I don't know what his deal is, but he's struggling. And it wasn't that he wasn't funny. I thought he was still funny, but trouble putting the words together and all that stuff. And I was like, oh my God, is this going to be one of them moments? And then he was 45 minutes of sheer gold. Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And then maybe the final 10, 15 minutes, he was just kind of like hanging out with us. It was still funny. The 45-minute middle was just incredible. But then I watched as I walk out right back to go get an Uber to head to this place we were going. The people, like the line of people to get their phones back was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that creates.
And I was like, I made the right call.
Bottleneck. But then didn't you have to wait for all your buddies getting their cell phones?
Yeah, I had to wait for the Uber anyway.
You win.
Yeah. Guess what? While I was waiting for those people, I was playing a game on my phone. So I was like, oh, you guys still waiting?
Yeah. He's showing it off.
The usher sees me still on call. Huh?
Bob's a bit of a Candy Crush. What's your go-to?
I've kind of weaned off of that. I haven't done it in a long, long time, Candy Crush.
What's your game of choice? I'm not a big game guy.
Me?
Yeah, on your phone.
No, I was just kidding around.
Weren't playing like Snake? Snood?
Yeah, I had my Nokia in my in my bag, and I was like, I can beat my record. That's so long! That's what she said. Anyway, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Do have to tell you, of course, that the 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single-family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com here on 97.5, the Fanatic WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Bank's mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. Let's get to Pat and Ambler. Pat, what's up, buddy?
Mark! Hey, Sam, bro, Andrew, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, Jake can't be calling out the players. That's Gabe's job. Last year when he did it, he gave up some cookies. He shouldn't be the guy calling out the players. I understand he's a vet and all that stuff. But he shouldn't be the one guy calling out the players.
Why not? Well, if anybody's going to do it, it should be Jake Arrieta. I feel like the manager, and I think Brett Brown explained this beautifully last week, Bob. Remember this? He said, you only have so many bullets as a coach, or manager in this case. You got to choose when to fire him. I don't feel like this would be the chance for, or the spot for Gabe Kapler to fire those bullets. A guy like Jake Arrieta can be the guy to call out guys, and I feel like that was an okay time to do it last night. My only issue was the I and not you.
Right, and instead of, you know, I should have the bad game to wait. That was what Andy Reid would say, like, oh, well, this game's on me. This game's on me. He wouldn't play. He wouldn't be throwing the rest of the team on the bus. He would just say, it's me. It's me. Mm-hmm. But that's my issue with right there. And he should, like I said, he should not be the one doing it. I mean, especially when you just worry about your game. The rest of the team, the rest of the clubhouse, to worry about their game. And Gabe should be the one getting, hey, let's put some jam here, let's go, and get some people's faces. You know, hey, listen, you got to pick up your game. I mean, I understand, like, when Dutch used to do it, that was Dutch. He was the most respected man in that clubhouse. But he ain't no Dutch. And he needs to be, like, an everyday player. I don't understand he's a pitcher, but he should be the everyday player saying that stuff, not a pitcher.
So it happened in June.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
It happened in June. Last year.
Right.
And the Phillies, they had a good June from what I remember. They had a good July, and then everything hit the fan in August. So right. It wasn't like the look, I just find it interesting that it happened this early in the season. It makes me think that during that 2-hour rain delay, and he even mentioned that the 2-hour rain delay, he didn't care. You got to be ready for the game. That's also something that made me go, huh.
Right.
What did he see that made him think these guys might not be taking the game seriously?
Well, maybe he just had a bad day, wake up in a hotel, and I don't know what's going on with Jake. You know, he shouldn't be doing that. He maybe wants to get out there as soon as possible. Maybe he had some other plans. I mean, a little rain delay got in his way. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he shouldn't be doing that stuff. But listen, I got a quick question for you fellas.
Yo.
Since the Phillies are playing the Mets and we got the Nets, the New York teams, give me your most hated, respected, and most liked New York athlete.
New York athlete in general? Not just the Mets?
No, you're right. No, not just the Mets or the Nets. Since we're playing New York today, I'd like to know three athletes. Your most hated, your most respected, and your most liked New York athlete.
Respect, hate, geez, that's... You always ask these questions that require thought.
Yeah.
I hate thinking, Pat. What the hell's wrong with you, Pat? No. I'll have to kick that around. Thanks for the call, Pat. Appreciate it, man. Absolutely, man. Always good talking to you.
I respected Messier.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
He won the cup for the Rangers there. Hated? There's so many.
Gretzky was also there in New York for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Respected? I don't know. It's New York. I don't respect
Lawrence
anybody.
Taylor?
I don't know. I didn't respect Lawrence Taylor.
He was a crackhead.
Yeah.
You know, people really like, you know, I say performance enhancing drugs, and they're like, no, he was on crack. And I'm like, yeah.
Have you ever seen a crackhead lift up a car? They have supernatural strength.
Exactly. Let's get to
Didn't
Keith.
Did ODB save somebody's life from picking up a car once?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That sounds like an urban legend I've heard before.
Yeah, ODB picked up a car and saved somebody's life. I think it's a real story.
If you can find me documented evidence of this happening.
All right, I will.
Like in the USA Today.
Challenge accepted.
Coming up, speaking of reading aloud to the class, Brandon Graham, Jamie, had some interesting. We'll get to the ODB thing. But Brandon Graham's comments. Because we had mentioned Donovan McNabb trying to backtrack. It's like a backtrack Tuesday, if you will. Jake Arrieta might be a backtrack Wednesday. But Jared Dudley yesterday backtracked a little bit.
ODB. Fact.
Oh.
Real sources.
What's your source? Who tweeted
MTV.com?
Oh, it totally counts.
Yeah.
Jared Dudley backtracked a little bit about his comments regarding Ben Simmons and half-court set and all that stuff. Then he had Donovan McNabb backtrack a little bit yesterday as well.
He tried.
I mean, look, I don't feel like Donovan had to explain himself. I got what he said. And I think a lot of people actually agree with what Donovan had to say.
Yeah.
That if in the next 2 years or so, if Carson Wentz can't get out of the second round, it's time for the Eagles to look elsewhere.
Right.
Not cut Carson Wentz, but maybe draft a quarterback, maybe trade for somebody, whatever it might be, that they might need to look elsewhere. At that point, he'll be 28 years old. You don't know what the injury situation would be with Carson Wentz. He'd be going at 29 years old, as a matter of fact, is what he'd be going into. So, exactly what would they be looking for if how soon should they be looking for a quarterback if Carson Wentz does show or continue to show injury issues and even not success in the playoffs?
It's the hardest position in sports that is one of the most valuable chips a team can possess. If I'm a GM, I'm drafting a quarterback every 3 to 4 years, and I don't care what my starter thinks about it. Mm. I'm doing it because it's best for the team, and that can turn into a trade chip. Like, did Tom Brady have a problem when they drafted Garoppolo? Did Tom Brady have a problem when they drafted Jacoby Brissett? No, he went out there and he said, you're a rookie and you're going to stay there and I'm the starter. Deal with it.
I remember Donovan having a problem when they drafted Kevin Cobb.
Well, that's because he's soft. Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre. Yeah. How'd that work out for the Packers?
Oh, very well.
Yeah, it's a good philosophy to have with your team. So I don't think there's anything wrong with what he said.
If you remember, after Kevin Cobb got drafted by the Eagles, Donovan kind of broke away from the Eagles. He went and did his own media tour. And he would have never done that
before.
That's
right, I do remember that.
He hired a guy from the PR staff who was a very good PR guy. He hired a guy that the Eagles had just parted ways with, and that man became his PR guy, basically. And Donovan started doing his own thing. He started going around doing his own thing, and that was a moment where he kind of started to break away from the Eagles a little bit.
Was that his first butthurt moment here?
Oh, God, no. That was like number 20,000. But he tried to backtrack a little bit. Now, we'll let you hear what Donovan had to say, but Brandon Graham, Jamie, do you have these comments here?
Yeah, I do. So it was on Lane's post. So Lane followed up his original tweet yesterday of the snake thing with I thought was a pretty good subtle shot.
Mm.
He posted a picture of him and Wentz on the field together and said, "That's my quarterback." Good little T.O. kind of, "That's my quarterback." Yeah. Interesting comment below it, I thought, was Brandon Graham, who's one of the longest tenured Eagles here.
31 years old.
Yeah, what, 9 seasons?
9 seasons now. So, he's going into his 9th year.
So he's had a lot of locker room experience.
Mm-hmm.
"Get him, Lane. Glad you said something because he be so bitter." Laughing, crying emoji. "You're a legend in Philly and you still mad."
Wow. By the way, Brandon Graham going into his 10th season. But this is a united front, is what this is.
Yeah.
"We world champs, baby, and that's all I got to say."
And I feel like everybody, and I know we got into this at length yesterday, but I feel like everybody has that same vibe about Donovan. That he just has that bitter vibe to him. And there was always that disconnect here, and it's unfortunate that was the case, but Donovan is in a position where if he wants to be loved here, if he wants to be respected here, more so, I do believe he's overall respected. The loved aspect is just not a thing.
Not even close.
Not even close.
No.
But I don't believe that that is unobtainable. If he stops saying stuff like this that was negative towards the quarterback of this team, then, because this isn't the first time. 2 years ago, he said something similar. And then he said it again now.
I think the love ship has sailed.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, I don't think he can regain love by not speaking. And he's not good enough at speaking to do anything to warrant love. He'll screw it up somehow.
That I agree with. Now, if I'm betting money, if he ever turns it around, I'm betting $1 billion he does not turn it around.
Yeah, but by not saying anything, people aren't going to fall back in love with him. No.
He can't help himself but to say something weird.
Yeah.
And awkward.
Yes.
He's a very awkward man.
He stays steady, though. I'll give him that. It's always awkward. Weird and awkward.
Always awkward? Yeah. We'll see. But anyway, we'll let you hear what Donovan had to say coming up in a minute. We'll read those quotes for you. We'll delve back into that a little bit. We'll also let you hear the Jared Dudley comments, because I think the Sixers just closed this one out tonight. And the line would suggest that. What is it now? 8.5?
Yeah.
It was at 8, then 7.5, now back up to 8.5?
Yeah.
Was it Jared Dudley's comments that made that
totally
line move?
Or maybe Joel Embiid being probable.
It is? Oh, that's right. Of course. That stat is getting upgraded.
We'll go with Dudley, though.
We'll go with that. We got Keith, we got Mike, we got Joe, we got Graf, we got wide open lines after that. 610-632-0975. We got all that and more coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But what you got coming up during this fine summer season, maybe take care of that lawn a little bit. And no better people to take care of that lawn than the people of Natural Lawn of America, because they use safer, organic-based lawn care products that will reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn, so that when your pets, your kids, your neighbor's kids, your neighbor's pets, you, your friends, running around on the lawn, you guys are as safe as humanly possible. Natural Lawn of America actually do keep your grass greener and keep those ugly weeds away. They absolutely will allow you to not sacrifice beauty for safety. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. Whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. For a limited time only, Natural Lawn's offering $100 off their full-service program. That's right, $100 off. So if you want a greener lawn with fewer weeds, call Natural Lawn today and tell them Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE and get $100 off right now. Natural Lawn of America. Greener.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Welcome back, everybody, for Zeta and Trey in the morning. Trey off till Friday. He'll be back on that day. Sam Wilson will be back till next week on vacation. Both are in Florida.
I just love that together. Trey hit Topgolf yesterday.
I saw that.
He did.
What, did he put up like a 121 score or something like that?
169. Number one.
How did I forget? 169.
Yeah.
Of course, that's what happened. That's why he posted it.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, he did really well at Topgolf. Oh, no, that's why he posted it. Is that really good, 169 on 10 shots?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
All right, it's a good score, I guess. But both are away. Sam will join us next week. Trey will be back with us by Friday, enjoying a fine, well-deserved vacation. 610-632-0975. Let's start off with the backtracks here with Jared Dudley. We'll let you hear what he had to say, because we remember the comments he made about Ben Simmons. We'll get to that in just a second. But Keith in West Oak Lane's been holding. Keith, what's on your mind today, buddy?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey.
Hey, listen, I'm going to talk about Arrieta real quick. Last year, he popped off after a loss, right?
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, after the loss, his next couple starts, man, were very subpar. And I don't remember nobody jumping on him talking about he needed to get his act together.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, I'm looking at his stats right now. He's been with us, what, this is his third year? Second year. He's only won 20 games once in 15. And last year for us, he only won 10 and lost 11. And he's 3-2 now. I mean, it's not like he's Doc Gooden or Doc Holliday.
Right.
To me, he shouldn't even be making too much noise. If he's got something to say about his team, he should be calling team meetings, catching people one-on-one. But putting everybody on blast like that when he's really not that guy, I don't think is necessary. And another thing, too, ain't not had nothing to do with it. I don't understand this cat anyway, walking around putting shots of him in Speedos or shorts or underwear on Instagram. So I already looking at this guy sideways anyway. I don't know.
Keith, he was sweeping the kitchen because Bryce Harper was coming. Don't knock him for that. He's trying to prepare the home.
He was getting ready for guests.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, son, man. If somebody, if a man is sweeping the floor like that and showing me pictures like that, I'm not coming.
Keith, I'm going to tell you right now, if your boss spends $330 million to get you a better player, you better be in your tidy whities. You better be sweeping that floor. I will judge you as a man if you don't.
Hey, listen, Mark.
Yeah,
listen,
dude.
You got that one. But listen, I'm on a serious note, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he has any room to be putting people on blast like that.
Look,
and I don't think he has the gravitas to do it either.
Look, other than the Cy Young Award, I agree with you, but this clubhouse, I mean, you have Andrew McCutchen, he's a seasoned veteran, he's an MVP, you have Jake Arrieta. I think Arrieta's the guy that just enjoys that outspoken role, and I think in his mind, he's not doing any harm whatsoever, he's just telling it like it is. But the way he told this story yesterday, and we'll let you hear the cuts coming up a little bit after 8 o'clock again, but when you hear those cuts, he is talking about a locker room that seemed like it wasn't focused throughout this game. No excuses, he says, basically. 2-hour rain delay, you can't come out flat like that. Bryce Harper can't get ejected. Bryce Harper agreed with that, and then he said something along the lines of how this team just didn't look like they were ready to play. He tried to single himself out, saying that he didn't make every pitch and that the umpire wasn't good, but he did say, I'm the guy, I'm battling out there every pitch. I need my guys behind me.
Yeah, but Mark, again, he mostly is upset the fact that he battled and lost his game, not the fact that, to me, that's the way it's coming off. It's like last year. It was after a loss. The manager's the one that needs to address these other things that's going on in the locker room. If there's some things going on right now, what are they, 12-8? Something's going on. They started off hot, and all of a sudden they done plateaued off in, 3 weeks? Something's not quite right. But that's the manager. That's the coaches. It's not a pitcher that pitches every 5 games who's subpar. I mean, he's not like a lockdown.
No, he hasn't been great. He was great. He was doing well in 3 starts. Now, that's not a big enough sample size.
No.
Thanks for the call, Keith. Appreciate it, man. But the other part of it is, last year when he went off, he went on to have a June with an ERA of 6.66. Now, the catch to that is that in July, he came back with a 2.80 ERA.
Yeah.
Make of it what you will.
Yeah,
that was last year.
Well, last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith made a good point, Mark, and I want to ask you this. Can a guy that goes every 5 days question how the guys are playing behind him? They didn't come ready to play today. Because my first thought this morning was, okay, but we play every day.
Yeah.
Like, you pitch once every 5. Calling us out for having a down game, for not being into it, air quotes, for being maybe tired after a long trip back east, a 2-hour rain delay. I think you have a great... I think you may be onto something with your thinking that there's going-ons in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I wish somebody that was there last night would have asked that also. Mm-hmm. Like, where's this coming from? Is this just tonight or is it something more?
Right.
You know, and I don't know. Because he seemed open for questions. He seemed to like...
Oh, he was ready to go.
Come on.
He was ready to go.
Ask it. Ask me.
Certainly.
Yeah.
I don't think he just wanted to call... Like, I don't think he wanted to call people out and specifically say who was doing what. But I just feel like it happening this early in the season...
It's April 23rd. Think he learned from calling out Kingery individually last year?
Probably, because he knew the way that went, and then after that he had to talk about how much he loved Scott Kingery.
Yeah, and that wasn't fair to Kingery last year, because Kingery was a rookie playing six different positions and his head was swimming. Like, you know, maybe he learned from that to call out individuals, and then now it's just broader painting it as the team.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, real quick, Jamie, just let me hear the last cut. We'll play everything coming up shortly after the top of the hour. But Arrieta kind of talked about how he needed the rest of his team. Whatever it was that he had an issue with, it kind of got summed up in this quote.
We started at 8:45, and I don't think our guys were ready to play. I'm out there doing everything I can to win a game. I need my guys behind me. I'm not happy with the way we showed up today. We need to come out tomorrow ready to go.
So he starts off with the we, and then he goes to the I. I'm battling every pitch out there. I'm trying to do everything I can to win a game, and our guys aren't ready.
That's
look, it's a general calling out, but it's a calling out nonetheless.
Yeah, and if I'm going to bat 680 times a year and out there every day, I roll that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Okay, we're playing hard for you today, you who are out there once every 5 days, and you know, you who seems to call out individuals an awful lot. Like I said before, I don't hate it. Jamie said, I kind of like it. I kind of don't like it. I'll just put it that way. I kind of don't like what he did. You can say everything you said, take the I and the me out of it, and I'd be totally okay with it.
To answer Pat Nambler's question, Derek Jeter would be my respected New York
athlete. Oh, that's a very good one.
I know. See, this is why you can't just blurt it out.
Yeah.
Because if we're talking most all-time personally... Like, there's a list.
And you know who I hated growing up for no real good reason other than just kind of disliking him?
Who's that?
John Starks.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, he just had a real hateable, smug face.
You might say he was Jared Dudley before his time.
Yeah.
Tiki Barber. I hated Tiki Barber.
Well, I mean, he did step out and cheat with his 6-month pregnant wife with, like, an intern. So, yeah, he's hateable.
What about the field? What about the field of play?
Oh, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
No, really?
Him and Tom Brady, because they both left pregnant wives. And that's such a scummy move.
Right, yes.
It's really hard to get over those.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Ben Roethlisberger scummy, but it's scummy.
See, I would have that as my number two. My number one thing with Tiki Barber was how high and tight he carried the football. And
I never fumbled.
He did for...
Well, for a while, and then he fixed it.
Right. Yeah.
And then he, like, never did.
When he went with the high and tight, he never did again.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was Parcells, I think, who implemented that with him.
I can't remember.
But he had a drastic change. Yeah.
Did Parcells coach him? I didn't think Parcells.
Coughlin? I thought it was Parcells there.
Maybe Coughlin.
I'll check.
I don't think Parcells had him.
I don't think they overlapped. But Tiki was high and tight, so much to the point it was almost taunting his coach.
And there's the association with Rondé.
Naturally,
you just kind of hate that whole family.
They're all a bunch of bastards. Let me just tell you that much. We'll let you hear from Jared Dudley in a second here. Mike and KOP. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man. Happy draft week.
Happy draft week. Jamie, Mark, great to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, I'll turn off my mic now.
what's on your mind, buddy?
I just kind of wanted to say I just came up with some rules that I kind of want Howie to follow for the draft. This is how I want it to play out. I want Howie not to draft up, trade up. I don't want him to trade back. I don't want him to take flyers on medical risks, outsmarting himself. I don't want him to draft undersized, frail players, i.e. Hollywood Brown, that receiver people keep linking us to.
Uh-huh.
I don't want tiny schools that we've never heard of before, even though like North Dakota State got us Carson Wentz. I just want all the talent goes to big-name schools, so let's just draft out of there. Like, and just take the best player available. Like, you put enough band-aids on the team now that you don't need like a specific starter, but just draft the best player available and don't overthink it, because he loves to overthink when he's drafting. He's like, oh, this guy's, he's got like four ACL tears, but he's great value here in the first round. Let's take him. Yeah, like, I just want him to just not be stupid with this draft.
Okay. I feel like that's a fair thing to ask of your vice president of player operations, is to not be stupid. I agree with you.
I mean, that's all I want. I just want to keep it simple, just stay pat, draft all the spots where you're able to draft, don't trade up, don't give away 2 first-round picks to move up 4 spots, 2 second-round picks to move up 4 spots to get a backup tackle or whatever. Like, he just does stupid things like that, and I just want him to stay away from that.
All right, let me ask you this, Mike. First round, Thursday night, who's your guy? Who's the guy you really want to see the Eagles get?
Well, I'm kind of leaning towards a defensive tackle to pair off with, and it really depends on who's there. I mean, Ed Oliver might not, he's probably going to be right off the board.
Right.
I don't want them to take, there's one defensive tackle that's got, who's definitely going to be a red shirt. I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, come
right
on,
now.
Mike. It's your one guy. Always has a guy, even if it's as obvious as Josh Jacobs that everybody loves.
I don't want Josh Jacobs. Who wants a slow running back? Who wants a slow?
Everybody wants it. Everybody wants Josh Jacobs.
I don't want Josh Jacobs.
He catches the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, but he runs a 4.640. I could run a 4.640.
Let's not get cocky.
I don't want that.
All right.
Find the best player available who's not fat, slow, or short, and then let's take him.
This is all sound advice. I think it's going to go against the philosophy of Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas, but it's sound advice.
It went against Andy Reid's philosophy. He's like, well, you fat, slow, out of position, let's take you. Like, Brandon Graham. Like, I know everybody loves Brandon Graham now, but that was, like, one of the worst picks I've ever seen them do.
Oh, yeah?
And Earl Thomas and JPP were still on the board, but we take this fat, slow linebacker.
He was not fat. Guy. Like, coming out of Michigan, he was not fat. You
yes,
stop that.
Was.
You are, you, you. Don't you be shaming Brandon Graham, Super Bowl champion.
Let's be real honest. Like, Brandon Graham would have, like, a real average career if it wasn't for that one strip that he didn't.
That one strip. He had 9.5 sacks that year.
And he still never hit 10. He's never hit double digits.
Mike,
never.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
No problem.
All right, I'm going to put my mic
walking on sunshine.
He basks in misery, that young man.
He bathes in it.
Feel bad for that little kid of his. I thought I felt bad for Egan's kid once he looks up and realizes who his dad is. But Mike's on the same boat.
Next time Mikey KOP calls us, I'm going to be like, you know, when your kid takes his first steps, right? And it'll be like, yeah, slow first step. You got to be better than that. It's going to be the first. You're going to be better than that. You got to be.
Wobbly for?
Stand your ground. So Jared Dudley made some headlines last week when he talked about that Ben Simmons character being bad and that average in the half court. Now, you tell me, with Jared Dudley, now public enemy number one in Philadelphia sports, you tell me if Jared Dudley is backtracking just a little bit here. Listen to this.
Well, my comments were directed as basically me being a coach or an analyst directing of how we're going to guard someone. How we're trying to guard him is put him in the half court.
Right.
The difference is I'm a player that just voices my opinion more directly and more, you know, obviously not really caring about what their feelings are about. My feelings is, I said he was average in the half court. When you want to put him in, because he's elite, all-star level in the full court.
Right.
He's someone that can give you a lot of different stuff in the half court. He tells you. He comes right at you. He comes over that left shoulder hook with the right hand 95% of the time. So you know that, and then he gets a lot of offensive rebounds. With me, I'm a 12-year guy. I'm not going to give you those points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've guarded Kobe in the playoffs, Brandon Roy, Dirk Nowitzki. Those guys, you have to play further out. So it's not being disrespectful. Now, he might have took it because they heard the word average.
Yeah.
So once he gets going and he had such a good game, a lot of those good games, I'm not on him.
I've heard enough. Elite. He worked in the word elite. Have we ever heard the word elite before from Jared Dudley?
In donut eating competitions.
According to my source, he's a baker. So that's fun.
Or he does cartwheels.
Yeah,
see him plow through a bunch of munchkins, man. That is elite.
It would be like the 1,000-year-old video of Lucy from I Love Lucy, like eating the chocolates through the conveyor belt, which is an old reference for like even my parents.
Yeah.
And I'm making it as the
Nick at Night now is like Fresh Prince and all that.
I didn't look at you,
yes,
Bob.
Yes, you did.
God bless you. So anyway,
old reference, and he looks right at me. All right.
Do we still have the ragtime music? Is this still the Greg Monroe theme song? But he is definitely right. Bob, is there any way other to look at it than he's backtracking? He's backpedaling a little bit?
And auditioning. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Auditioning!
Hello, ESPN. You know how you have guys that lose in the first round come on your station and do some analysis?
Oh!
Yeah, well, let me audition right now.
Wow!
12-year vet, doesn't have much time left, working his way into the media.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That was the first thoughts that came to my mind.
Okay. Ooh, that's galaxy brain.
Let me hear the first part of this, because he talks about being an analyst again or something like that, using analysis, whatever. Here's Jared Dudley again.
Well, my comments were directed as basically me being a coach or an analyst directing of how we're going to guard someone.
Okay, all right, yeah. My comments were actually about being a little bit of an analyst.
Uh-huh.
Like, all right there, brah.
Yeah. And would it surprise you?
No.
I mean,
but I don't want to see that face.
I hear you. Besides players that have played really well, the biggest story out of the playoffs is probably Jared Dudley. Coming out, saying what he said about Ben Simmons,
yeah.
Getting into a couple altercations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Philadelphia absolutely hates him. Brooklyn now has you know, endeared themselves to him. Like, he's the face of the team, kind of. The ugly face of the team. But
he's the biggest face of the team.
Yeah, no, but think
that was
about
not a
it.
Fat joke,
if you're going to have somebody...
Lighten up.
Stop fat shaming, James. If you're going to have somebody come in studio to be an analyst... That's not a great player, because the great players are mostly moving on.
Right.
Might be him.
I just think it's really elite, actually.
Oh, I covered Kobe. I covered Dirk Nowitzki. I mean, I've covered everyone. I've been around 12 years. I know the game.
Great tweet from Doug Fresh out there.
What?
The only court Dudley is elite in is the food court.
That's a pretty good one.
That's good.
Bad. You know he goes around the bourbon chicken line not too many times.
God, I love
you know,
that.
You know, he likes to... Well, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
All right, they got the toothpaste ready to go. They got a little bowl of it, and like, oh, you want to try bourbon chicken? I'm like,
we know it's delicious.
Don't mind if I do. I've never had such bourbon. I've never had bourbon chicken. Jared Dudley is the guy that keeps going around.
He kills samples at Sam's Club. Elite Sam's Club food sample
guy. I've
never
had pigs in a blanket.
What is this? A croissant and hot dogs?
Genius.
I think I might buy a box.
You guys are brilliant. Graf, what's happening, bro?
I'm pretty sure all those guys that he mentioned wound up winning championships the same year he played against
them. Yeah, funny how they left him in the rearview mirror. Funny how that works.
Right, yeah. Like, what a moron. He's almost as big of a moron as McNabb is. And you know why? Because Donovan McNabb could be one of the most beloved football players in all of Philadelphia sports. But instead of trying to connect with the fan base and be a mentor to the team, he always, always has to go against the grain and say something out of left field that he just shouldn't say.
Mm.
And I don't get it. It's like Allen Iverson plays a very vital role in that 76ers universe. And the people love him. The kids we got on this team love him. And they should. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that we talked to Jason Stark yesterday, and Jason Stark has been in the media far longer than I have, and he certainly covered Philadelphia sports far longer than I have. He couldn't think of anything that compared. Like, even with Mike Schmidt, and Bob mentioned Mike Schmidt earlier yesterday, but that's not even comparable because he won.
Right.
It's like that winning factor is obviously something that makes everybody love you, but with Donovan, that wasn't there as a saving grace. Like, if they would have, let's say they rushed down the football field in the final 5 minutes of the Super Bowl, he scores the touchdown faster than that, they end up closing it out defensively at the end of that game, or he ends up throwing the game-winning touchdown, whatever. It's a totally different story. Everything is taken differently. Yeah, sure, we might think of him as a little bit of a, you know, I don't know, an awkward guy, but he becomes Charlie Manuel in that, oh yeah, sometimes he can get awkward, but we still love him because he won.
Exactly. You're right. I mean, it's like listening to Jimmy Rollins last night in the broadcast booth. Donovan McNabb could have those kind of opportunities if he just wasn't a douche. And just to tell you, the biggest douche award today goes to Ezekiel Elliott for getting a tattoo of himself on himself. And secondly, did you guys watch the Bucks game last night by chance?
I watched.
Yeah.
Good part of it.
Yeah, Giannis had one of the worst airballed three-pointers I think I've seen in a long time.
He made one early, too.
He's a bad shooter.
Jamie, after he missed that airball, I literally caught myself saying, man, why can't Ben Simmons just do that? Like,
I'm asking for the kid to miss to airball a three pointer by like 10 feet. I don't care.
I think it's Ben could do it if he really wanted to.
Oh, he'll airball the hell out of a three pointer if you want him to.
But I'm happy with the way he's been playing, Graf. You think they close it out tonight?
I don't think there's any way the Nets can compete tonight. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you have Jared Dudley continuously talking. Like, all right, dude, just throw fuel on that fire that lit you up in the end of the game and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. Like, stop it.
I'm with you, Graf. All right, buddy, take it easy, man.
Take it easy, guys.
See you, buddy. 610-632-0975. We got Nick and Conchi. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. We are giving away a pair of Fandango tickets to any theater that uses Fandango so you can see Avengers Endgame.
That's good.
You like that?
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That's
a little radio voice going there.
Avengers Endgame. Come see the movie. And also coming up,
Joel Embiid is going to Thanos the Nets tonight.
I wish I knew what that meant.
One day you will.
I'm kind of enjoying the fact that I haven't seen any Avengers movies. It's like I've never seen all of Top Gun, and I've never seen what's that movie? The girls, Dirty Dancing.
I've never seen that, but Top Gun.
I've never seen all of Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, can't do it.
For a second, I went the Leslie Nielsen Top Gun.
No, it was not Leslie Nielsen. You're thinking Hot Shots.
No.
Airplane.
No.
Naked Gun?
Yeah, Naked Gun. I had in my first. I was like, come on, man. You're better than that.
I've seen Naked Gun.
I would hope so.
They have that actor. He's really funny. The OJ.
OJ.
Nordberg. They have that really funny comedic actor. What's his name? OJ.
Oh, he killed somebody. Not as funny now.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Coming up, we will read for you Donovan McNabb's comments. Like I said, we got Nick and Koch. You got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. And in this next segment, yes, I will give a critique, if you will, of Jimmy Rollins, because we do seem to have some disagreements around the horn as to how good Jimmy Rollins was in the booth last night for NBC Sports Philadelphia, making his booth debut, if you will. Him and John Kruk.
Spectacular.
Is an adjective that you just...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Said out loud into a microphone. Time of the Fanatic is 7:43. Welcome back, everybody, for Zeta and Trey in the morning. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Have you followed this Cliff Kingsbury's his girlfriend's story here?
No. What do we got?
That's the Cardinals head coach, right?
Yeah. Cliff Kingsbury? They're going to take Kyler Murray, probably, number one, and do away with Josh Rosen from last year, which is
so
nuts.
His lady friend, Holly Saunders.
He's a good-looking fella, so I would imagine she's an attractive lady.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah.
He's a handsome man. Bob, handsome man?
Sure.
All right. Well, this Holly Saunders is... I believe Smoke Show would be the perfect way to describe
Holly Saunders. Why do I know that name? Does she work in TV?
It sounds like a TV name. I don't think she does. But I will say she's a lovely lady. She may. I could be totally wrong.
There is a Holly Saunders that works for Fox Sports.
Okay, then maybe it is the same person. I honestly don't know. All I know is she recently became famous again because guys were sliding into her DMs.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And then she decided to go scorched earth and post them.
Horny online, we've discussed this before, rarely works out. It's not a good look.
I still want to meet the couple that's like, well, I was an Instagram model, and he always said that he would drink my bath water, so we decided to have dinner, and he was a nice guy, so we got married, and here's our seven children. Like, I still have yet to meet those people.
The peppercorn of social media. The peppercorns of social media.
Totally. Been planning it for months. Was it months or years? I forget what Squid says.
Years.
Okay.
Good for Cliff. Sorry.
There you go, Bob. I was wondering why you went radio silent for a second there.
Yeah.
You were Googling.
Good for Cliff.
I can't even read the DMs because they're not at all safe for work and or radio.
Oh.
But if you want to take a gander at that during your lunch break today there, folks, you're welcome. It's she's a lovely lady. Does she work for Fox Sports 1?
I don't know.
That is correct. Okay. She does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then she's, yes, very attractive.
Very lovely lady.
I've seen her before. I think she covers college football for them.
I wonder how they met.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just beautiful. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, man.
I want to talk about Bryce Harper for a little bit. I think he irritates me more than now that he's with the Phillies now. This guy whines and cries every time he's at the plate. He's nothing but Mr. Strikeout, Ryan Howard reincarnated. This guy irritates me, man. I'm just tired of this guy. And it's only, what, 22 games into the season?
Bryce.
And he argues every single time he's up in the plate. He's an NBA player playing baseball. You know, nobody ever gets fouled in the NBA.
So you're done with Bryce Harper already? That's your deal?
Yes, this guy drives me nuts. Every time he's at the plate, nobody ever throws him a strike. He knows always off the plate or somewhere. And he strikes out. Well, we already knew that was going to happen, but I'm not saying I'm done with him, but he irritates me. It's like he was with the Nationals.
What about that, you know, getting on base like 40% of the time? That's not good?
Not as good, but I'm talking about everything else. This guy strikes. Listen, when you're striking out and getting on base, and then, I mean, it's just counterproductive. You know? And, I mean, he's a good player. I never thought he was a great player, per se.
He's an MVP and a six-time All-Star, and he's 26 years old.
But listen, in baseball, every team gets an All-Star anyway. Mike Leverfall was an All-Star.
Touche.
Dom Brown.
Touche. Touche.
Well, yeah, Dom Brown. Yeah.
Well, Dom Brown had a hell of a month. That's what got him the All-Star.
Yeah, well,
patient, Mike. Come on, man. You just met Bryce Harper.
Oh, man, I can do without this guy. Now, let's talk about the Sixers.
All right.
Tonight is over. So we might as well enjoy it because you know the next series, Ben is going to be back to shooting 22%, averaging 7 points because Kawhi is going to lock them up. So they'll be playing 5-on-4 offensively.
All right, so you're like me on this one, Mike. You're enjoying this series, but you know what's lying in the weeds.
Yes. It's you know, next series, Jared Dudley will be saying, I told you guys, I told you.
Right.
So that's why I'm just enjoying this series because I already know what's going to happen next series. You know, he'll be sitting there grinning and saying, well, you know, I don't need a jump shot. No, who am I?
No, okay, Mike. Now, being that you or I are on the same page, I want to see if we're on, like, the same line of the page here. I love what I'm seeing from the Sixers. I still don't think they're going to be good enough to beat the Raptors in the second round, but I am even more optimistic about the not-too-distant future of this 76ers team in next season, the year after that, and the year after that. I am more looking forward to next year, but I just can't bet on them beating the Raptors.
No, I'm looking forward to next year only if they can re-sign these guys. I just don't think they're going to re-sign Jimmy Butler. It's just something. You know, he's just such a weirdo. Uh-huh. I don't know. He may want to go play in China or something. I don't know.
Okay. I don't think that's going to happen.
As long as they re-sign those guys, I'm excited for next year. But as of now, I'm just enjoying the series.
All right, man. Thanks, Mike.
Y'all have a good day.
You too. Was that Jimmy Butler playing in China?
That's what he said.
Nope.
Probably not.
No, I'm just going to go out on a limb right there.
I had an interesting conversation with Devon doing the pregame show off air, actually.
Oh, really? Bob.
And, you know, it was kind of like, where would you offer Jimmy Butler? Because I don't think a lot of people anymore really want to go the full 5-year Supermax.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
It was kind of more along the lines of what would you pay him for 3 or 4 years? It's interesting. I don't think a lot of people are in the 5-year Supermax.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I'm not in the 5-year Supermax either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I do want him back, though.
Like Devon and I were talking about, like a 3-year, 100.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.